Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
This is Paris. I am in my hotel room here in Cologne, Germany. This is my day one recap of Gamescom. Day two, I don't know. It's all blurry now. I've been here since Sunday. Today is Wednesday. I was doing I think this is the first official day of Gamescom. So I think this is the official day. The day before was the media day, and then I was doing some pre Gamescom stuff before that. So what I'm going to do is kind of just give you a recap of what's been going on with me so far. And we'll end this with an interview I did today with Aaron Greenberg from Xbox, where we kind of sit back, just talk about the current state of Xbox, where they are, where they're trying to go, all that kind of stuff. You guys know this. We talk with Aaron every year at E3, but this was actually my first opportunity to talk to Aaron one-on-one, and I had to go halfway around the world to do it. So that was pretty cool. Obviously, I'll get into the CD Projekt Red stuff as well as other things that I've done here at Gamescom. So let's just go ahead and recap this. So I actually arrived on Sunday, got here, and that was an adventure of itself because the schedule they gave me, the train schedule I had, wasn't consistent with what the actual trains were as far as their gate numbers and just where I should have been going. So I had to kind of learn some German on the fly and figure it out to make sure I got on the right train at the right time once I left it. Because I flew into Frankfurt, and then I took the train from Frankfurt to Cologne. So once I figured out the train properly, got here to Cologne, I don't know, around about 1 o'clock or so, checked in my hotel, and I immediately took a nap just so I could start to get adjusted to the time. Got up around about 5 p.m., walked around the city. You guys follow me on social media, you've probably seen some of my pictures and just things I've been posting. And then, stayed up for a while, went to bed, got up Monday, did some other things that I'll be able to talk about at a later date, which is the real reason why I'm out here at Gamescom. Did that on all day Monday. And then Tuesday was the media day for Gamescom. So came out here for that. First thing I did, let me backtrack. So I used the public transportation system while I was here to get from my hotel to Gamescom. They had shuttles, but I felt like being adventurous and I wanted to figure it out. So again, learning German on the fly, I figured out the proper trolley station, whatever you want to call it, to go to, got on the right train, and I used that to go over to Gamescom. It was actually, pretty simple to do, really. Wasn't that bad at all. Being able to take from my hotel to Gamescom, got there pretty quick. Once there, just followed the signs to the convention center. And let me tell you, folks, it is huge where we do Gamescom. I'm actually walking around in my hotel right now, if it sounds different. But it's huge. But everything is very well organized and laid out. Signs, directions, telling you exactly where to go. So once I was in Gamescom, did the whole registration, got in. I went to the Xbox booth. Xbox had their media showcase that morning. So I went to that, got hands-on with Halo Reach. That was like the first thing I did because I was so excited that Halo Reach was there. And mouse and keyboard. I'm telling you, if you're a Halo fan, if you love Reach, which is one of the best Halo games, it's so good on PC. It looks great, plays great. Going to be so excited for that to come out later this year as part of the Master Chief Collection, which it'll also be on Steam as well, which is pretty cool too. So played that. I then did Gears 5, and I did the Horde mode for Gears 5. And it's Horde mode. I mean, I actually played as Jack, so I was doing kind of a support class as Jack, and you can kind of hijack into some of the Horde when they're coming at you. You can take them out with like a shock thing, which kind of pings your other teammates to go in. You can power up your other teammates, help them out. Like I said, it definitely was a support class, but it was fun. A lot of fun. We did the first 10 waves, got the boss at the end of the 10th wave, took him out, and that was the end of the demo. But I did enjoy it, really enjoyed it. The other highlight from that I think will be of interest to you guys is Project X Cloud. Got hands on with that. It was an Android phone with an Xbox controller connected to it. And I played Ori and the Blind Forest on it. And I'm here to tell you now, as skeptical as I am about all this cloud gaming streaming stuff, because, you know, I had it on live back in the day. If you didn't tell me it was streaming over the cloud, I wouldn't have known. It was seamless. And hey, it's not like this was a first-person shooter or anything, you know, where that millisecond of lag could matter. But in a platformer like Ori and the Blind Forest, played great. It was very responsive, no issues at all. It was good. So, hey, and we'll talk about this with Aaron as well in her interview as well, because I definitely walked away from it impressed. And I definitely think this approach from Microsoft is the right way to do this, where they're not like Stadia saying this is your primary gaming platform. They're saying this is a supplement, and they're even giving you a free tier of it by being able to use your own console. I do think, which I talked to Aaron about, the key is going to be the pricing to the masses that don't own a console, that don't own a PC, that potentially could be interested in doing cloud streaming on their mobile device or like on an iPad or something like that. So that was Xbox. I then just walked around. I just wanted to check out the show floor, because this is before the public comes in. Let me pause on that right now. People were warning me all day on Tuesday that the next day, which is today, when the public comes in, you will not be able to move. It's going to be chaos out there on the public show floor. Be warned, because the way that they handle this is the media, we basically get our own hall, and that's called the business center. And that's where the media can go, do all their interviews, their private demos, things like that. And it's, you know, it's very reminiscent of E3, like going upstairs to the meeting rooms and that instance. But here, like I said, it's literally its own hall. Like, the way it's structured is great, but my God, today I went out on the public show floor and it was like suffocating. There are so many human beings in one spot. It's crazy because that many people, but they have it organized at the same time. It sounds like an oxymoron, but trust me, if you're here and you see the way that they have it structured, the way they have the traffic flows between the halls really works, but it is a lot of people. This is way more than E3. The best analogy I can give, this reminded me of that first day they allowed the public into E3, and it was chaos, right? This is that times 1,000, but it's organized chaos, if that makes sense. So back on track, back to day one on Tuesday. So like I said, I walked around. I wanted to check out the show floor and just kind of see where everything was. And, you know, just went and saw the booths, saw what PlayStation was, Ubisoft as an example, Bethesda, Nintendo, saw the Witcher 3 over there at Nintendo. So that was really cool. They had like Luigi Mansion, other stuff. Stadia has their own booth as well. So I just wanted to walk around and check all that out. But then I knew Bandai Namco had something, and that's where Cyberpunk is, the public booth for Cyberpunk. So I went over there, checked that out. And even on the media day, there was already like a couple hour wait. So I was so curious to see what it would have been like today. And I'll get to that in just a minute. But talked to some of the guys from CD Projekt Red when I was over there at that time. Went from there, went and checked out the business center, all that. Talked to more guys over at CD Projekt Red when I was there as well. Just, you know, kind of hung out, you know, just saw various other private meeting booths just so I get the layout and understand how everything was. So that was pretty much my media day at Gamescom. So then after that, I left Gamescom, did some personal things, kind of checked out the city, did some souvenir shopping, things like that. And then today, got up again, took public transportation, took the train over to Gamescom. Now the public was there. I've already told you it was complete chaos as far as on the public floor. So I just hung out for the most part in the media, in the business section, in the media hall in hall 4 the entire time. I got hands-on with the Avengers. Got hands-on with it, had a presentation with that. And let me tell you right now, the Avengers is a very fun game. I had a lot of fun playing it. It's very reminiscent. It's Crystal Dynamics making it. It was actually the studio head that gave us the presentation. But definitely some Tomb Raider roots in there, just from their legacy of the things that they do. But I also had some Insomniac vibes with Spider-Man in there, just some of the combos and things that you'll be able to pull off. I was able to play as Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, and Black Widow, and they all had their own unique traits, and it was fun to play with all of them, to be honest with you. We then got a presentation after that. We kind of just went through this whole demo of it. And then after that, they gave us kind of just a presentation, an overview of what they're attempting to accomplish with the Avengers. And it was good. Like, I truly want to go play this game now. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun, especially the online co-op portion, which they weren't getting into here at Gamescom. They'll talk about that more at a later date, but it was clear as day. The way the mission structures are set up, it's a kind of an open world environment with these different regions, and you can tackle different missions and objectives, you know, solo with your friends. You know, they're basically gear to find out there. You know, it's almost like Destiny in a way where, you know, there's common gear, you know, legendary gear, exotic gear, things like that, that you can use to upgrade your characters. You unlock new characters and new regions unlock, things like that. So they didn't talk a lot about the co-op stuff, obviously, like I said, at a later date. But you could even tell there's definitely going to be some co-op combo collaboration that you're going to be able to do, things like that. So I'm excited to see it. The only downside that I got out of this is, they're going to microtransaction the hell out of this game. I can see it already. And one of the warning signs for that was the simple fact that they showed off all these cosmetic items, like different suit variations that you'll be able to get. And some of them are really cool. Like Hulk, as an example, had the Joe Fix-It outfit, which would be really cool to have. So I asked the question, I go, will all these cosmetic items be obtainable just by playing the game? And this is studio head, flat out said, no, it's not going to be. And he didn't seem that happy when he said it. So this might be a decision that's coming above his head, but they're definitely going to take the best of those cosmetic items, and they're going to paywall them. They're going to put them behind a pay gate or whatever. And I'm not going to say it's a loot box necessarily, but you will have to purchase these items with your own money to be able to get them, which will be unfortunate. So we'll see. But I'm definitely excited for it to come out in 2020 next year and play it. Like I said, it's shaping up to be a really fun co-op experience. And again, the whole Marvel legacy, you know, that they're going to be able to tap into all those stories and even new things they'll be able to do. And like I said, the whole world will open up. You're going to have all these characters that you're going to unlock. It'll be a lot of fun. So like I said, did the Avengers. Excuse me. I sat in another presentation at Microsoft for Gears 5. It was Horde mode, so it was almost kind of like a recap pretty much from what I got to play the day before. So nothing really new on that. I did, like I said, I got brave, and I did go out on the show floor and saw the chaos and immediately ran back into the business room after that. I was like, I can't do this. But one thing I did do early when I first got there was I did check out the Stadia booth. I didn't do hands-on or anything, but they definitely had stations that were there for the public to be able to go hands-on with Stadia. I actually ran into Deej when he was out there on the show floor because Bungie was doing a presentation or like a stage show interview or something like that at the Stadia booth. So I think that's online somewhere so people can probably watch it. I have no idea what they said, but obviously Bungie is a big partner with Stadia, and it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do. Speaking of Bungie, I'm scheduled to meet with them tomorrow. I'm going to have an interview with them. I actually, off the record, got to talk to some of the people at Bungie the other night. And Shadowkeep shaping up to be something really good. So I'll repeat the stuff that I talked about with them offline on the record on the interview. And we'll have that up probably when I get back home from Gamescom. I don't know if we'll put that out right away. I feel like I'm losing my voice. Just a lot of talking. Just so many people. And that's the one cool thing. Like, I'm literally here by myself, right? But there's just so many people in the industry I know. And it's just funny. The ones that did not know I was coming out here, they run into me. They're like, wait, you're what? You're here? And I'm like, yep, I'm here. So that was kind of cool as well. So the big main event before we get to the interview with Aaron is I spent most of my afternoon today with CD Projekt Red. And it was cool, man. It was really cool because obviously those two videos went viral. I've got to know a lot of people at that studio now, and just to get the face-to-face with them and actually have a chance to kind of just talk to them one-on-one, it was pretty awesome just over the last couple days. And I showed up at the booth. You know, they knew who I was right away, had me come in, kind of whole VIP experience. But I got to do the demo again, and it was Miles. Miles did the demo again, and I actually got to talk to Miles yesterday before, so he had already given me the heads up on it. But Miles did the demo again. It's virtually the same as it was at E3, so there's not a lot of difference there from what I saw. But seeing it a second time, I definitely picked up on more things. And I talk about a little bit about that in the interview that I did afterwards with the producer of the game. And the main thing that I took away from the demo is how impressive their classless system is, that you play the game the way you want, right? This is Night World is really accessible to you. You can go off, do whatever you want. There's obviously the story mode in there. There's going to be a ton of side quest things that you're going to be able to do. But you tackle all of those quests and those missions however you want to tackle them. There's no right or wrong answer on how to do it. Just the customizations that you're going to be able to have in there just look very impressive graphically. I mean, you know, RTX. I didn't even talk about the NVIDIA event I went to. I went to NVIDIA event Monday night, and I got to check out some of that. Again, thank you to NVIDIA because they sent me a RTX 2080 card, because they definitely want me to start playing games in RTX and checking out that experience, and I'm really looking forward to it. But back to CD Projekt Red. So yeah, like I said, saw that demo. You know, like I said, I picked up on a couple new things. Just the little attention to detail with a lot of stuff they were doing, like even just the Netrunner stuff that you got to see, and just with the hacking and the Netwire and all that, and even the female V just being the tank. And one question I wanted to ask that I forgot to ask: you see a sequence in the demo where you take out the animals leaders, that big female, I'm forgetting her name. And when you can actually disable her strength out of some more, because you kind of shoot a weak spot that she has on her back. It's like a backpack or something that's fueling her strength. And you take that out, she's no longer able to wield the giant hammer that she has. But you're able to pick it up. But you're also the female V that's super strong. So it makes sense that you're able to pick it up once you defeat her. It's kind of like, you know, kind of the loot drop that you get from her, you know, when you defeat her. And you're able to pick it up as the female V with the melee strength. But my question is, let's say I'm a Netrunner V and I'm not super strong. Am I still able to pick it up? If I am, why? I didn't get to ask that, but if they have that attention to detail in there, that would just be absolutely amazing. So these are kind of the little things that I picked up out of that demo that had me super excited about it. And like I said, I did an interview right after that, you know, with one of the producers of the game. I thought it came out pretty well. I mean, look, I'm just going to be frank with you. We're both kind of tired. It's like, you know, Gamescom can be exhausting. So I didn't 100% get all the information that I wanted out of that interview, but hopefully down the road, I'll be able to snag a few more folks from CD Projekt Red, and we can really deep dive into some conversations on the game. Like, I mean, I'll just be frank with you specifically. I want to talk to Paul Sasko, and I want to talk with Miles Toast, like either separately or together, because I think both of them can provide some great insight on the game. So I'm really looking forward to that. But so after that, I then sat down with the guys over at GOG Galaxy, and they kind of gave me a preview on someone is calling me from the United States. No, I'm not paying $5,000 a minute. But I got to sit down with the guys over at GOG 2.0, and they're calling me again. That's so weird. All right, sorry. I'm leaving all this in. I'm not editing anything. We're just doing this straight. So, yeah, I sat down with the guys at GOG Galaxy, and they showed me a newer build of 2.0. And it really was more of not to, like, show me, hey, here's the new stuff they got. They just kind of wanted my feedback. Hey, here's what we're working on. What do you think of it? Gave my opinion. I'm really, really liking some of the stuff they got in there. And then they were asking my opinion on new features they could put in as well. And, like, things like, as a content creator, how I can use GOG to kind of better interact with my audience. So I gave them a few suggestions. I'm not going to give them away on here, because if they don't use them, I don't want to set any kind of expectations or anything. But I gave a few suggestions on what I think they could do to help me as a content creator better engage with my audience, you know, as far as just the games that I'm playing, the achievements that I'm getting, things like that. They were showing off some of, because, you know, GOG 2.0 is going to be open source. They were showing off some of the community integrated features that potentially could be in the final version of the game as well, or game, the client as well. So I'm impressed with it. The one thing I will say feedback I gave them is they got to get rid of the duplicates of games. So if I own the same game on four different platforms, don't show me that icon four times. Instead, make the other platforms that I own it a submenu inside the one icon. I think that's would be the ideal thing. And then they took that feedback, and they've heard it from other people as well. But I appreciated that they wanted my opinion on GOG Galaxy 2.0, and specifically reached out to have me, since they knew I was already going to be at Gamescom. So did that. And then the final thing is I got hands-on with The Witcher 3 on the Switch, the Switcher, at their booth. And it was the dock version. It was not the portable version. And look, here's the thing. Is it going to be, you know, 4K, 60 frames, amazing? No, and I don't think anyone should realistically expect that. This is The Witcher 3 running on the Nintendo Switch. The beauty of this is not to play it in dock mode at home, unless you've never played The Witcher, right? But is to be able to have The Witcher with you wherever you go. In dock mode, it's at 720p, and I know it has dynamic resolution. I believe undocked it's 540. But in dock mode is fine. I mean, 30 frames per second, it played well. It's The Witcher, man. It's the game I know and love. So it was good. It was fine. I wish I could have played it undocked. I didn't get that opportunity, you know, obviously. But it's coming out October 15th. I'm really looking forward to it, and I will own it day one. Absolutely. Whether they give me a review copy or I got to go buy it, I'm getting that game, because to have The Witcher with me wherever I go is just too awesome of an opportunity to pass up, and definitely will help buy the time as we get to Cyberpunk coming out in April. So again, had some nice conversation with a few folks at CD Projekt Red. It was just hilarious that even other people that I did not know, like, knew who I was when I was there and was bringing that up. Like, even the producer I talked to, at some point I said something right before we recorded, and he goes, "Oh yeah, I know who you are. I wasn't going to say it, 'cause I didn't want to be wrong, but I know who you are. I seen the video." It's hilarious. But, you know, I appreciate those guys. I appreciate all the hospitality they showed me today at the booth. It's truly appreciated. And for the most part, that has been my Gamescom so far. Like I said, I got one more day. I'm seeing a few more games tomorrow. Like I mentioned, Destiny 2 Shadowkeep is one of them, along with a couple others, a couple more interviews as well. So we'll be bringing all that to you at a later date. But to wrap this one up, I'm going to now lead into an interview I did with Aaron Greenberg from Xbox here in Cologne, Germany at Gamescom. And we just kind of talked about the current state of Xbox and where they're looking to go. Appreciate Aaron's time. I always do. I truly appreciate the fact that, you know, they want to hear the good and the bad when it comes to Xbox, especially the bad, because that's how they get better, right? That's the one thing about Xbox. They've made their mistakes, but I really like the course correction they've been doing the last few years. And we talk about that with Aaron. So without further ado, let's go into the interview with Aaron Greenberg.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so I'm in Germany.
Yeah,
for the first time.
How about that?
I'm at Gamescom.
Paris and Germany.
Yes, and you already heard him. So Aaron Greenberg, thank you so much for doing this. What is your exact title? Because every time you say it, I always forget.
That's all
so,
good.
So,
no worries.
What's the official title?
I'm the
at Xbox?
General Manager of Xbox Games Marketing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to take it back in time
really
quick to talk about now. So 2016.
Okay.
We were at the Xbox Spring Showcase.
Oh, yeah.
In San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And Phil Spencer got up in front of everyone that was there. And kind of gave this vision of the future of where he wanted to take Xbox. And I think back then I was like, sounds cool. Let's see where it goes. I kind of think we're here now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And you know,
I remember that moment. I remember that speech.
Yeah, you know, you
it's
and
first
I have
time I'd heard it. I was like, wow,
right,
that's
right?
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you and I have
didn't you jump up and scream or something, or was that
was okay.
That was a different event.
No. That was the E3 after that.
That's right. That's what it
because
was.
Because that's when you he announced you're doing Xbox Play Anywhere.
Yes, yes.
And you even looked up and I was like,
that's right. Yeah,
because
yeah.
For me, you know, and I've obviously been critical of Xbox. I, you know, wanted to see the direction you guys were going. You know, just trying to, you know, fair feedback. But I really like where we're at now
here
in 2019 and obviously looking towards 2020, where we're going to get with Scarlet. And I think one of the biggest things that you guys have done is Game Pass and now expanded that with Game Pass Ultimate.
Yep.
I'm signed up. I'm in it. I think I signed up to like 2022 or something.
Yeah, you
like
stacked
that.
It. That's smart.
Yeah.
That's
and
good.
It is the future of gaming. I've done nothing but sing its praises the past year, because I look at it logically, like, you have an awesome lineup of games coming out. Gears 5 is about to come out as an example.
Yep.
If I own Game Pass, I have it.
Totally.
I'm ready to play it.
If you're an Ultimate Game Pass, we're giving you the Ultimate Edition of Gears.
Exactly.
And the Early Access.
Yeah. And you can take it to PC.
Correct.
And I want to get into Project X Cloud in a second.
So how many friends and people have you told about that?
Everybody.
Right?
Everybody.
That's the idea.
Because it's a no-brainer.
Right. That's the idea. If you over-deliver on value for your fans will advocate on your behalf.
Yeah.
And a lot of people often forget, they get caught up in the how much can we charge for something, how much should something cost, and forget that actually if you put the player at the center and you make the decisions that are player first, over-delivering on value so that your fans are like, this is such a great deal. I have to tell my friends.
Yeah.
I want to commit to 2022. Thank you.
Yeah.
But that is the power of Game Pass, and that's how we approached it, and that we want people to feel like, I mean, it's choice. If you still want to buy games, we're okay with that too. But to be able to get all of our first party games included at launch, that alone is worth the subscription.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I even remember when right before E3, obviously we knew Game Pass Ultimate was coming. We weren't 100% sure how was it going to be structured, what was the pricing, and again, I think you guys did such a smart thing with that $1
yep.
a month. And yep. then, hey, now whatever, if I had gold already or previous Game Pass, it basically scaled it up.
Correct.
To, you know, be able to use it. Because I remember we were getting ready to go to the Xbox Press Conference and heard that. We're all scrambling on our phones trying to, oh, dude, I got to sign up. This has got to be a mistake. What are they doing? You know,
yeah.
But.
No, it was great seeing all these YouTube videos on my feed of people showing you how to extend your gold subscription and then how to, like.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of different ways that we could have approached that. And again, like what we said was, listen, we want every gamer, whether a gold member, a Game Pass subscriber, both combining, upgrading, trial, like every scenario, we want a gamer coming out going, this is a great deal. And I feel like Microsoft did me right. And so that was our intention. And it's just great that the reaction and the buzz and the amount of how-to videos were kind of fun to see.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. And so I think that word of mouth marketing is the most valuable marketing that exists. And to have fans advocating on our behalf is, you know, just awesome.
Now, this isn't a negative thing, but to kind of take it.
This is not all going to be nice. So I'm it's not my first time talking to Paris.
I know you're ready.
Yeah.
So yesterday, you know, I was down at the Xbox booth and I got a chance to play Halo Reach on PC.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Cool.
Got to do Gears 5 Horde mode. Fantastic.
Nice.
It brings me to the next thing of, you know, you guys have done a lot of studio acquisitions over the past, you know, year, 18 months, whatever the case. Future-wise, obviously bundling this with Game Pass now, I mean, I'm sure you guys realize the importance of, it's great to have exclusives, it's great to have Game Pass, but being able to diversify the library that you're having. Can you talk about it a little bit, the vision that you guys are trying to reach as we go to Scarlet?
Yeah, I mean, as we looked at our strategic long-term vision of what we wanted to do, we realized that while we had a lot of really great top-tier first-party studios, we needed to expand, we needed to diversify.
Yeah.
And so that's why the teams that you've seen us add, you know, we've added 8 new studios in the last year and a half. So it's been, you know, at an incredible pace. And those folks bring a different type of games that they make. Some of them are more, you know, In Exile, Obsidian, you know, teams that have really deep, you know, PC roots, Ninja Theory, the creativity and they bring to things like Hellblade, you know, Compulsion, you know, Undead, you know, just a very diverse set of folks. And so as we think about all that and Double Fine more, even more recently, you know, that adds a lot of different types of content and will enable us to bring a lot more first-party games. So that's incredibly exciting. And I think about, you know, for us, we're really thinking about those across our platforms primarily. So, you know, Xbox console, PC, and then with all that, always making sure if you're player first, how do we support crossplay? How do we let developers do cross progression so that if someone is playing games on a PC, great. If they're playing games on PC and console and they want to pick up where they left off, great. They want to stay connected with their friends, great. So that's been our intention and how we're doing this. And I can tell you that those teams, we've gotten to know them, are working on a lot of really exciting projects. And I think people are going to be impressed with just how many first party games we're going to have coming out on the road to Scarlet and beyond.
That's awesome. So you bring up crossplay, so that kind of brings me to this Nintendo Switch. You've had a nice partnership going here with Nintendo, you know, over the past few months, and we've seen Cuphead come to the Switch. Ori is now coming to the Switch. but I saw a headline that said you're not expected to bring anything else to the Switch anytime soon. Care to elaborate on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think what people ask a lot is with these acquisitions, if we've added new studios, you know, some of them already had existing arrangements where they're making games multi-platform. You know, our intention is that those studios will then now go focus on making games for our platform. So focusing on Xbox, focusing on PC. You know, we don't plan to have any of our first exclusive first-party content coming to other consoles. The Ori situation is a little unique in the sense that Moon is an external independent studio. Mm-hmm. They're a team that had approached us about potentially bringing the first Ori to Switch. And in this case, we felt like it made sense. And so we worked with them to enable that. And listen, Nintendo's been a great partner. You know, we do have, you know, outside of our exclusive first-party franchises, we do have something like Minecraft. You know, that franchise, when we acquired it, existed as a multi-platform franchise across multiple devices, and we obviously want to continue to do that and support that. And Nintendo's been great partners with us with Minecraft. So there's ways that we will work together. But also, you know, a lot of our fans that are investing in an Xbox or going to invest in Project Scarlet, we want them to know that, you know, our first-party exclusive studios are going to be focusing on making games for those platforms. And they're going to be optimizing for that. They're going to be building great showcases for that. And whether they want to play those games on an Xbox or a PC or both, you know, we're going to focus on delivering for those fans there.
So, okay, so that brings me to my next question. I started off with Game Pass because it's been clear to me, going back to that vision of what Phil Spencer was talking about in 2016, of course, you're still making consoles, but Xbox is more of a service now than just being one particular platform. It's about giving me, the player, the gamer, choice. Play where I want. Mm-hmm. As long as I'm playing Xbox games, you guys are happy, right? Mm-hmm. So sticking on the Switch for just a second, then I want to transition into Project xCloud. Mm-hmm. There's been talk of, hey, this partnership with Nintendo, could it potentially lead to seeing Game Pass come to Switch or Project xCloud come to Switch, more, you know, exclusive Microsoft games coming to the platform. So have there even been those type of discussions internally of potentially doing more with Nintendo to bring more things to that platform?
Yeah, we have a great relationship with Nintendo. You know, they're actually right down the street from us.
Yeah.
And so we meet with them on a regular basis on a number of things. You know, I think there are times where it makes sense for us to collaborate on things. They had come to us about putting Banjo in Super Smash, and we're happy to enable that. And so, I mean, I think we have a unique relationship with them. I mean, I think, you know, it's hard to say what the future will hold, but I think the first party studios are going to focus on our platforms. And I think in the case of Ori, you know, I think people can kind of understand why that makes sense and why an independent external studio like Moon would want to be able to do that with the first Ori. And it's great. We make more fans for Ori, and it's, you know, I think, you know, Nintendo's been good partners with us as well. I don't know. I mean, do you think of the Switch as a console?
You know, I was a skeptic of the Switch. I seemed to be skeptical about everything at first, but it really won me over, and I truly see the value in it. And it's having, like The Witcher is here right now. You take The Witcher wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So thinking of it on the lines of being able to take Halo with me anywhere I go and play it sounds like an amazing thing to do. Hmm. But that actually leads me right into my next question. Project xCloud. Mm-hmm. I got to play it because I didn't get to play it at E3, so I played it here.
Mm-hmm.
I was very impressed. I really was. I was like, okay, because I did on live back in the day. I've done PlayStation Now, things like that. So I'm like, it'll have some lag. But playing it here on the show floor, if you didn't tell me that I was streaming it over the cloud, I wouldn't have known. That's how responsive it was.
Yeah.
And it really opened up, you know, the thought process of what the potential of this could be, because I love that you're not selling this as the primary way I'm playing a game. You're basically saying, hey, this is a supplement to your primary gaming experience. Mm-hmm. Take it on the go, do whatever you want. So along those lines, questions that I have about it, you're going to start testing it in October.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mentioned at E3, we're going to be able to take our own Xbox at home and turn that into our own cloud service. So can you kind of elaborate on a little bit as far as the testing goes? Is it going to be widespread in October? Is it still going to be like a limited selective beta, things like that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's great that you got to get hands-on. That was our intention of, we had it at E3. We have it here. I mean, the beauty of us being part of Microsoft is we're able to build all this on the Azure infrastructure, the largest cloud infrastructure in the world. So we can bring this around the world and show that what a great experience it is, yep. a low latency experience. And that was that what you described is exactly what we designed and optimized for, was that you could not actually tell the difference. And we've had all kinds of journalists come and unplug things and replug right. things. And, you know, right. every scenario.
Yeah.
Stephen Totilo from Kotaku is funny to see his experience at E3. And like people are like, there's no smoking, there's no tricks here. Like yeah. this is actually running, it's hitting local servers, and it's incredible how well it works. And I think that gives people a sense of like the possibility of streaming and the capabilities there. You know, I think for me, I get excited about two things. So one is, if you're a console gamer, you've invested in an Xbox and you have this library of games, being able to enable you to stream those games from your home console to your mobile device, your entire library for yeah. free, is a huge benefit. You know, we have this great collection of games. We have multiple generations of games, thousands of games available that you can largely play in your living room when you're connected. But what if you want to keep playing those games on the go with touch or even with a controller? We're going to enable you to do that. Then there's another set of customers that maybe don't have a high-end PC, don't have an Xbox console. There's 2 billion of these people right. around the world. We can actually literally take a console, put it on a rack in a server, and basically allow you to play an Xbox console game with xCloud, which is what you just experienced, that is running on a server rack, an Xbox console that's been reconfigured to be on a server rack, and do that as a low-latency experience to reach potentially 2 billion gamers around the world. And so that's pretty cool to be able to say, hey, you've never played Halo. Maybe you've never played Forza. You've never played some of our iconic franchises or some of our partner titles. You'll be able to get console quality games on a mobile device, you know, anywhere. And so the power of that, I think, is really exciting. And while the mobile industry is great and there's a lot of fun games I play on my mobile phone, like to play some core games on my phone, play console yeah. quality games, I think that's a big unlock. So, and then through all that, it's like, how do we allow people to stay connected so that I'm still able to play, connect with my community, to play games across platforms? You know, that is also allowing people to not be restricted to the people they can play with, depending on what store they might have bought a game from. If they're playing on their console, if they're playing on their PC, if they're playing on their mobile device, to allow that community to stay connected is something that hasn't existed either. So that's kind of our vision. And we are, to answer your specific question, North America, Europe, and Asia trials this holiday. And we'll go from there.
Okay. Now, and obviously you've not talked about pricing on this, because you bring up the thing about the 2 billion people that don't own an Xbox or a PC right now. And my one thing about this, me, fine, I can use my own Xbox. I'll be able to do it as a supplement. But to me, it seems the pricing is going to be very critical to get that casual person that would only stream it on their game. Because in my mind, I don't know if I can invest in purchasing a retail game and it's not tangible in some way, where it's digitally downloaded on my hard drive or something like that, that is just literally sitting in the cloud. So I don't know if you had any thoughts or things you wanted to say on that as far as pricing it out towards the mass market.
Yeah, I think we're still thinking about that. I think it's too early to tell. I mean, I think the nice thing is that with the other parts of our business, you know, we've built at scale Xbox Game Pass now across PC and console. So largest subscription service. We're giving people a lot of choice in how they want to acquire content. Mm-hmm. So I think we have a lot of tools to kind of work with, but we'll see. I mean, we're really focused on building the tech out.
Right.
And I think what you've seen from us is that we really do try to focus on over-delivering on value for gamers. I think an example of that is the home console streaming, enabling all that for free
to
mobile devices.
Really,
and we have to build a lot of infrastructure to do that, but it just gives you more value from the investments you've made in your Xbox games, your Xbox content. So I'm excited. And, you know, when we're ready, we'll share more.
Okay. And I don't know how much time we have left, so a couple more things I wanted to bring up. Minecraft.
Yeah.
I was at the RTX event earlier this week, and they were talking about that Minecraft is getting RTX, and it seems like you guys are really starting to do more with that franchise. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that.
I mean, Minecraft's had just an incredible resurgence. It's been really fun to watch. You know, the team has done great work on the product, and they've really, you know, focused on a lot. You know, major new content updates has brought a lot of people into the franchise, and it's growing in every way. It's growing on console. It's growing on PC. It's growing, you know, people are streaming the game more. And I think what we're seeing is even 10 years in, there's nothing quite like Minecraft, and it's so unique. And the way, you know, the possibilities and the growth of the franchise are just incredible. We're seeing a lot of international growth in a lot of markets, a lot of growth in Latin America. China has been a huge boom for us. Japan right now is seeing a lot of growth for Minecraft. So in a lot of places you wouldn't expect. Russia been a top, like we look at, like, not just people that are playing, but how much are people watching YouTube videos or other things. A lot of growth. So just, it's very, very different than maybe like traditional Xbox business. So it's been really kind of fun. And then the, all that is before seeing record engagement on the franchise overall than it's ever in the 10-year history. And then that's before Minecraft Dungeons, before Minecraft Earth. And so that's really exciting. And what we saw, what we learned from the fans is that they really love Minecraft. They want us to innovate that. We said, well, what do you actually want even more than that? What's the other thing do you want? And they said, I actually want new games built in the Minecraft universe.
Yeah.
And so that is what drove the team to go build Minecraft Dungeons, which is a really fun co-op dungeon crawler. Highly recommend to play it. We have it here at First Time Playable. And then Minecraft Earth, free to play, you know, AR location-based experience that, you know, designed for mobile. And I mean, that, the scale of that thing is just kind of mind-blowing to think what that can be. So, yeah, it's a lot of innovation coming out of the Minecraft team right now.
That's awesome. And I guess last thing is Steam.
Yeah.
Halo Reach is coming to Steam.
Yep.
Gears 5 is coming to Steam, which I think is huge, by the way. But it brings up the question of, can we expect more of that collaboration on the PC side of the house in the future with your titles?
Yeah, we've had a really good partnership and engagement with Valve. And, you know, they're... I have just worked really well with us. And so we're excited to work with them and then bring a lot of these games to Steam and help, you know, a lot of people that, you know, think about so many of the big PC markets like Eastern Europe, China, here in Germany and other places where, you know, it's more PC first markets. And Steam is a leading store there. So we're happy to work with them. It was great to see the reaction to Reach and the Master Chief Collection. Gears 5, we also have Age of Empires 1 and 2 Definitive Edition. Yeah. So
that's going
to
be,
I mean, and, but through all that, being able to keep the community connected, and not creating different communities for our franchises depending on which store they went to, that was the big reason for us. So I'll say we'll see how it goes, but so far we're feeling really good about it, and it's great to see the fans reacting well, and Valve's been awesome partners. So it's good. If people like it and want to see more, please provide us the feedback.
I'm sure people are definitely going to want to see more of that. So just to wrap this up, because I just realized, I think this is the first time you and I have actually just talked one-on-one.
That's true.
I think there's always been a group of us.
Always Godfrey getting in the way.
Exactly. Interrupting me. But thank you for doing this.
Of course.
I really appreciate it. I mean, we had to come all the way to Germany to do it, but this was awesome. And I just want to thank you personally, because you've always been very fair with myself and obviously with Danny and Pete over the years.
Yeah.
You know, hey, there's things we've loved, there's things we've not loved, but it's, you want that feedback, and I've always appreciated that you wanted that honest feedback when it comes to Xbox. And I say it all the time, I'm not sitting here right now if it wasn't for Xbox from way back in the day, you know, doing, just being very outreaching to the community and helping uplift people like myself to get in these positions, to be able to talk to people like you. So just for me to you directly, I just want to say thank you for that.
I appreciate that. That's very kind. I feel really privileged to have a career doing what I love, and Xbox has allowed me to do that. And I listened to your show. I've been fans of you guys, and I've never judged, you know, when you guys are really small, you guys are a pretty big deal now. So no, I'm always happy to make time. I think I've never turned down a Gamer Tag Radio at any event ever, and don't plan to ever do that. So I love what you guys do. You guys are real. You're honest. We're not going to always get things right. We know that. We're going to make mistakes, and we're open to the feedback, and we want to learn from those mistakes. And having an outlook, you guys, where you play our games, you listen to the core community, you have the real sense of what's working and what's not working. For me as a marketer, that's incredibly insightful.
Yeah.
And so I really always appreciate the honest feedback, and always happy to make time for you guys.
All right. Again, Aaron, thank you so much for doing this. Really
awesome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you,
sir.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right. Again, I want to thank Aaron. He's always very candid. Always great talking to him. I really appreciate the honesty that he has when we talk about things with Xbox and things that, you know, they feel they're doing right, things that they're doing wrong, things they could get better at, etc. So always a good time talking to him. So let's just go ahead and wrap that up. I've been rambling long enough here. So again, thank you guys for checking out the podcast. It has so far been an amazing experience being here in Germany at Gamescom. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here. I wish Danny and Pete could be here with me as well. But just meeting so many new people at the same time. But also, actually, one last thing. Shout out to Destin Legere over at IGN. I'm literally just sitting on the floor at one point today on my phone doing something. And he just walked up to me and said hello. And we chatted for a little bit. And that dude's always been mad cool. And I've always appreciated our interactions over the years. And just appreciate him taking the time. I just think he's just a really cool dude. And I appreciate him going out of his way to come over to me and say hello. Along with all the other people that I've met so far at Gamescom. Just saying hello. You know, hey, it's so great to finally meet you kind of thing. But it's not over yet. Still got another day here at Gamescom. So hopefully I'll have some more interactions like that on my last day at Gamescom as well. But until then, this has been Paris. This has been my Gamescom recap. I might have one more after my final day, but this is Gamescom so far. Thank you guys for tuning in. Really appreciate it. And we will see you soon.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.